Welcome to the Taylor Tax Show podcast. We are here to help highly paid, highly taxed, and high profile taxpayers save a bunch on your taxes legally. When you follow our podcast, you will know how to make sure that the more you make, the less they take. Folks, welcome back to the Taylor Tax Show. I'm Terrence Taylor, the co-founder of Taylor Tax. This is my partner, Big Al Darnell Jr. Say what's up, Big Al.
What's going on, everybody?
All right. And today, this is episode 11. We're going to be talking about estate planning. And we're going to cover this topic in three stages. So the first stage, we'll talk about what is estate planning. Second stage, we'll talk about why you should consider estate planning. And the third stage, we'll talk about the tax benefits of estate planning. Now, disclaimer right up front, estate planning is a very complex area of the tax code, and we highly recommend that you consult with an estate planning attorney or someone who has certification in estate planning to make sure that your estate plan is not only up to scratch, but it's legal and will allow you to do the things that you want to do. So why are we talking about estate planning if we're not experts? Well, we know the tax code well enough to know that this is a critical area for saving on a bunch on your taxes. And we want to give you high level insights to prepare you to have the right conversation with your estate planning attorney or your certified estate planner. So Big Al, let's get right into it. What is estate planning?
First of all, I'm glad that we're talking about this topic. Yeah, while we may not be estate planning experts, we are tax experts because we're both enrolled agents. So giving it to you straight from a tax standpoint, all right? The end of all this tax planning that we're doing kind of ends with, of course, your death and how it's going to be transferred to the next generation. And that's why we're talking about estate planning. So first of all, what is an estate? An estate is literally anything that you own, any asset that you own at the end of your life, all right? So some of these assets, and I don't care how much money you make or how wealthy you consider yourself to be, most people have an estate. If you own a car, if you own life insurance, if you own any investments, if you have a checking account and a savings account, all these things are part of your estate. What's going to happen is that once you pass away, if you don't have a spouse that you're leaving it directly to, then the state is going to pretty much freeze all of these accounts and sequester all of these assets until a valuation is determined and taxes are paid, and then they find out how they want to distribute it based on their state laws. So from an estate planning standpoint, we want to make sure that If that doesn't occur, because control is the goal, what we want to do is make sure that we control not only our cash flow and our income, but our assets and how they're being taxed and how they're being taxed to the next generation. So we want to control and make sure that we are not giving up more taxes than are necessary so that our next generations can benefit more from it and the community at large, because in a lot of people's estate planning situation, they're given to charities as well. So that's what estate planning is. Estate planning is making sure that you, number one, know all of your assets and the values of all of your assets, and that you come up with a way to structurally contribute them either to the community through charitable donations or to those that are going to inherit your estate in a manner that's going to reduce the amount of taxes that you have to pay currently and the amount of taxes that your estate will have to pay posthumously. All right. So that is why you need to consider it now. It's never too early to start talking about planning for the next generation. So we don't have to think about it from a negative standpoint of planning for your death. We're planning for the expansive life of the next generation. All right. So now I want to jump into some of the tax benefits of estate planning, and I want to throw it back to you, Terrence, because there's a couple of strategies that you've mentioned to me quite a few times that that always get me excited from a tax planning standpoint for estates. So talk to me, yeah. Sir.
Sure, Big Al. And right before I talk about it, I just want to echo two things that you said. Estate planning is not just for people who are thinking about their death, right? It's one of the most powerful things that you can do while you're alive to ensure that the assets and the wealth that you've built up gets transferred to the people that you care about. So for many people, that's going to be members of their family and charities or societies, charities that they care about, right? It may also be that some people don't necessarily have immediate family. So for them, they may be looking at friends and other people that they care deeply about or causes that they care deeply about. Okay, so now, what are some of the tax benefits or tax strategies that can help you to benefit from estate planning? Well, Big Al, we covered one of them, the biggest one, in one of our earlier podcasts, and we highly recommend folks check it out. And that's the buy, borrow, die strategy. And to briefly recap that, the whole idea behind buy, borrow, die is a way for you to minimize your taxes while maximizing the transfer of your wealth or your assets to those you care about, your heirs. So buy, borrow, die has the logic of instead of selling assets to get cash or funds to take care of things that you need to take care of, you actually use whatever cash you have to buy assets. So this could be stock, bonds, real estate, businesses, and you want assets that are going to appreciate in value. And then you leverage those assets or borrow against them. You use them as collateral to borrow money. And the reason why you do this and how this minimizes your taxes is because the tax code does not consider debt to be income, and therefore debt is not taxed, right? Because the expectation is you pay it back. And once you have that debt, you have income in your hands that you are able to do the things then that you need to do. And then the die part is where you use estate planning and benefit from the step up in basis to be able to transfer whatever assets you have net of the debts that you acquired by borrowing to your heirs, right? So Big Al, we can talk a little bit more about the step up in basis. And I know you actually have some insight into this. So let me pause here and ask you to step in and tell folks a little bit more about what the step up in basis is all about.
Of course, not a problem. But yeah, so everything that you're talking about with the buy, borrow, die, that is a beautiful thing. Now, where it concerns the step up in basis is that whenever one passes away and whoever inherits their assets gets to step up the value, the basis is just pretty much the taxable value, the taxable purchase price or beginning price of an asset that gets to step it up to the value it is on the day of the decedent's death. Meaning that if your parents bought a house back in 2001 or 1984, and now they passed away in 2024, 40 years later, you want to make sure that if you were to inherit that house and sell it, that if you sold it for $1 million, that you don't have to pay $800,000 or capital gains on 800 grand because your parents bought it for 200 grand. All right. What happens is that you automatically get that step up in basis for the value at the point of their death. So that way it's valued at $1 million. And if you sell it for 1.1 million, you only have to pay capital gains on 100 grand, which is a huge benefit. But in order to do that, you have to make sure that it's properly, that it qualifies. Now, if it's in a irrevocable trust, it does not qualify because that's separate from your estate. All right. And that's an entity in and of itself with its own EIN number, so forth. So it continues to live on beyond the purchaser's death. However, if it is in a revocable trust, then that's part of the decedent's estate, and now you are, whoever inherits it gets the step up in basis. And this is important because invariably, oftentimes beyond the wishes of the one that's giving or that's that you're inheriting the assets from, sometimes you have children or those that are inheriting it, they can't agree on how they want to handle it or managing it, and they want the money from it immediately. So what they do is they have to sell it. And the last thing you want to do is try to go and sell this property and realize that all the profits that you got from it have to go to Uncle Sam. All right. So that's what the step up in basis does. It makes sure it allows you to increase the taxable basis or the starting point to the date that you inherited the actual asset, which reduces your taxes significantly. And this is super important just because where it regards these taxes, estate taxes, gift taxes, and estate taxes, it's anywhere from 18 to 40%. And with it being 18 to 40%, you want to make sure that you do any and everything you can to alleviate what's going to be taxed at that 18 to 40%. You do have an annual exclusion of about $18,000. So why we need to talk about estate planning now from a tax standpoint is so that you can start to give away this $18,000 every year systematically in order to reduce your taxable estate at the end of your life. Now, here's the thing. The lifetime exclusion for 2024 is $13.6 million or $13.61 million, $13,610,000. And some might be considering, hey, my estate might not ever be that way. You don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know how much your assets are going to appreciate and so forth. But when you add everything up with your real estate, your bank accounts, your insurance policies, et cetera, who's to say it can't? This podcast is mainly for go-getters anyway. People that are highly paid, highly taxed, or high profile, which means that they're all going for it. We're all gunning for it. So there is a very high likelihood that in the next 30, 40, 50 years, or however long, you know, God sees fit, you stay on this good green earth, that you can get to that $13.6 million threshold, which will probably be lifted due to inflation. But what we want to do is make sure that you have a systematic way of gifting this money in order to reduce your taxable estate and make sure that your children or whoever inherits it receives the bulk of the asset. All right? All right, back to you, Terrence. Could you wrap us up, sir?
Thanks, Big Al. Quick check. You said the annual exclusion is 18,000. Just want to check the figure. Is it 18,000 or 18 million?
Correct, yeah. Oh, it's 18,000. So you can gift $18,000.
Oh, you're talking about regular gifting. Got it.
To any individual.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Thank you.
Just without to pay taxes.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to clarify because I was wondering, are we talking about the estate? But okay. So, you know, you said some really important things there before I go on to the next tax benefit. And this subject of trusts is a critical one that folks must understand. And I would highly recommend they spend time understanding the difference and benefits between revocable trust and irrevocable trust. And the only thing I want to touch on briefly when it comes to estate planning is you kind of hinted at a strategy for folks who are high or ultra high net worth individuals. And some folks already know this, but for those who may not, you could use that distinction between a revocable trust and that being a part of your estate and an irrevocable trust and that not being part of your estate to structure the estate in such a way that you minimize the ultimate taxes that your heirs pay. So that's one thing I wanted to just highlight, Big Al. Let me go on to the next benefit of estate planning. And this comes from none other than the Rockefellers. This is called the Rockefeller Waterfall Method. I absolutely, absolutely adore the creativity behind this. And this brings one of the topics we've already talked about, Big Al, which is using insurance strategically as a way to grow and preserve wealth. So the Rockefeller Waterfall Method uses life insurance policies that have a cash value. And I believe when they started this, they use whole life insurance because that has both a death benefit and a cash value. And what they do is they've set up a family trust as the beneficiary of the life insurance policy. And they ensure that each member of the family, my understanding is as soon as that person is born, gets a life insurance policy. And we all know that there are two things in life that are for sure, Big Al, and that's death and taxes, right? So when that family member unfortunately passes away, the life insurance policy pays out the proceeds to the trust. Now, because the life insurance policy has cash value and you can take policy loans against that cash value, then the family now is able to use the trust to basically set up a family bank that family members can borrow money from using the policy loans to be able to accomplish different things in life. So whether that someone is needing to start a business, someone wants to buy real estate, someone needs to go to school, someone needs to pay for a wedding. So all these wonderful things that we normally would do in life is accomplished or are accomplished through this structure that has a trust and whole life insurance policies with the trust as the beneficiary. So that's a Rockefeller waterfall method. And Big Al, the beautiful thing about this is it's something that families can do. You don't have to be the Rockefellers to do this, right? So estate planning allows you to do this. Increasingly, we find that an index universal life policy is equally good, if not better in some ways, than a whole life policy. And that setup of a trust and then index universal life policies on family members with the trust as beneficiary could be really worth looking into. Last thing, Big Al, and this touches briefly on the Rockefeller waterfall method. So we've already talked about the fact that estate planning is not just about planning for death. It's also about making sure that while you're alive, you can do and accomplish many things. So one of the benefits of that approach of the Rockefeller waterfall method is something called $1 million baby, where when you have children and you insure them with an index universal life policy or whole life policy, you're able to front load the payment of the insurance premium. And for example, if you start up in the first 5 years of the child's life and for example, pay $20,000 each year, that puts about $100,000 into the policy. And certain illustrations will show you that that $100,000, based on assumptions, could grow to $1 million by the time that child is 43 years old. So you're basically guaranteeing that you have $1 million babies. So like the great philosopher 50 Cent said, Big Al, have a baby by me, baby, be a millionaire. You don't have to have a baby by him, but you can certainly make your baby a millionaire. So folks, those are three of the top tax benefits and strategies that estate planning brings. So Big Al, let me hand back over to you. Any closing thoughts before we end the podcast?
No. Let me jump in on two things you said.
Yes.
All these things actually work together. Buy, borrow, mm-hmm. die, the Rockefeller waterfall, and the step up in basis. From a mm-hmm. planning standpoint, of course, we want to hold any real estate or any huge assets in a revocable trust so that those that inherit it do get the step up in basis. But then there are other assets that we might want to hold in different types of trusts, but you would need to consult with an estate planning attorney or a trust attorney in order to consider that. But the beautiful thing is that this thing promotes generational wealth from the standpoint that, unfortunately, when someone passes away, it's not unfortunate, it's a fact of life. When someone passes away, that insurance policy then funds the trust so that the trust now has a larger pot for the rest of the family to pull from in the event they want to borrow to start a business and buy a home and so on and so forth. So what you're doing is you're creating a generational bank, a family bank, to that continues to be poured into from generation to generation. And I think that's super great because just like Terrence said, when you take loans from this family bank inside the trust, it's non-taxable. And what you got to do is, guess what? If you never pay the loan back before you die, then that just reduces the amount of death benefit of your policy using that particular example. And it's no hit or liability for anybody else in your family. Mm-hmm. So as we continue to talk about, when it comes to taxes, what we're doing is we're purchasing assets that grow in equity. We're drawing from that equity in order to create a tax-free lifestyle. So that's all I had to say about that, Terrence. And I'm happy we're talking about it. And please make sure that you, there's a couple things you could do. Check out Tax Strategies GPT to give you all sorts of insights and answers to a lot of your tax questions, especially surrounding estate planning. Mm-hmm. And then also make sure to reach out to one of us or any other tax professional to get more customized information about how to proceed. Because I'm telling you, we do taxes. We see it year in and year out. As people continue to grow their wealth and grow their assets and grow their estate, all they're thinking about is continuing to grow it. And they're not considering the tax consequences of not handling it properly towards the transition that everyone goes through in life. But yeah, so that's pretty much it for me. And I'll let you wrap us up, Terrence.
Okay, folks, thank you so much. So again, I'm Terrence Taylor. You can reach me at terrence@taylortax.com. And this is Big Al Donnell Jr. You can reach him at bigal@taylortax.ai. Excuse me. So terrence@taylortax.ai and bigal@taylortax.ai. All right, folks, see you soon.
Cheers.
Well, make sure that you follow us and subscribe on YouTube and any other platform that good podcasts show up on.